Shalom and Calvary greetings to everyone. So we want to continue with our thought, and this morning we want to read on from verse 2 to verse 6 of Psalm chapter 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the first thing we want to observe this morning is that this tree was planted. It did not just grow haphazardly or like a shrub in the wilderness. It was planted. Who planted it? Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3 not only tells us who planted it, it also reveals to us what type of a tree is this. It puts a name to this tree because trees come in different varieties. They come with different names. But in Isaiah 61 verse 3, the name of this tree is revealed. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, watch this. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, we see one important thing here. This tree did not plant itself, neither did it just grow by the chance of activities happening. It was the planting of the Lord. And when you read NIV and indeed other versions like the New American Standard and Amplified, they bring out what the King James Version left out. When you read in the Hebrew, where it says trees of righteousness, in the Hebrew, a particular species of a tree is mentioned there. Okay, and the name of the tree mentioned there is Elah. And that tree is the oak tree. And when you read in the NIV and many other versions, they bring out what the King James Version left out. They will be called oaks of righteousness. So we see that the tree being mentioned there is the oak tree. We see this occurrence again in Isaiah 6 verse 13. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. So the scripture here tells us of something terrible that will happen in this land. But yet, just like the terebinth tree and the oak tree, even when you cut them down, they have this characteristic, this ability to grow again. Now, this is a beautiful type of the life of a believer. Now, let us look at five important characteristics of an oak tree or even of a terebinth tree, like you saw in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. It's not only the oak mentioned, but the terebinth tree. And these two trees have something similar about them. And we want to look at the five important characteristics. Because number one, we know that as children of God, we are the planting of the Lord. And we're not just any kind of a tree. There are certain trees, you plant them by the rivers of water and they won't survive. The abundance of water may kill them, maybe because they don't have a deep root system to penetrate the earth and, utilize the benefit of those many waters, which teach us something. Now, let us look at the five characteristics of the oak or the terebinth tree. Number one, these trees are strong and sturdy. In the example of the oak tree, it actually takes very long to grow. It grows very slowly. Okay? And in growing slowly, something happens beneath the soil. The roots are going deeper. And because of this long process of growth, there's so much strength that is built in this tree. Then number two, when you cut down an oak tree or a terebinth tree, it has this unique, we would say, miraculous ability that new shoots will start growing off the stump, which remains there. New life begins to grow. It is so persistent. And three, the oak tree can live up to 1,000 years, 1,000 years. It will still be standing there. Other trees may wither away, maybe because that stream of abundance of water may have dried up because of different seasons. Maybe the harshness of the weather. Other type of trees will wither away, and if such a dry spell prolongs, it may die out because the root system does not go much further. And number four, the oak tree is evergreen. Whether it's the rain season or it's a dry season, whether streams dry up, you will still see their leaves looking green. And again, we need to know the reason. What is causing that? Again, it is because not of the beauty of the leaves themselves, but because of the deep, extensive root system. On the surface, you will think, oh, the stream of waters which was spoken of in the book of Psalm chapter 1 looks like it has dried up. It looks like the revival is gone. It looks like all the other believers have backslidden. But well, in the sight of man, the stream looks like it has dried. But you know what? Those roots have a secret place. They go so deep until they touch the water table deep in the soil. So it still is able to catch that stream. Quickly, number five, these trees, the terebinth, the oak tree, and especially the oak tree, they have very good economic value. You know, people cut them out and they make wood out of that, which can be used for making floors in our houses. They can be used to make houses, you know, because of their strength and durability, they have very high economic value. So people find these trees to be a blessing. What can we learn from these five wonderful characteristics, you know, of the oak tree? Number one, we say they are strong and sturdy. You know, this is not a tree that can easily be shaken off the ground by some dust or wind. When you read Matthew 11, verse 7, the Lord Jesus spoke of John the Baptist. He asked the disciples, "Did you go see a reed shaken by the wind?" Dear brothers and sisters, if we are not careful, our lives can be reeds shaken by the wind. But an oak of righteousness, a tree planted by the Lord, will be seen by its testimony. Many years can pass, trials can come and go. But one thing about that tree, the oak tree, it is an indestructible form of wood. Okay? It stands strong, doesn't get carried away by the different storms which may come. There should be consistency in our lives. There should be a testimony in our lives that brings glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number two, when this tree is cut down, it regenerates. You know, when you read John 15, verse 1, the Lord Jesus said, "Branches which produce fruit, he prunes them." When you look at that word prune, it means to cut off unwanted parts of a plant in order to improve its growth. Did you know that when we speak of a tree planted by the waters, It does not mean all things will always be rosy or good. God is going to allow circumstances and situations which are going to prune you off. Certain undesirable circumstances are going to arise. Maybe in moments where you expect to be appreciated, nothing will be spoken. Maybe certain situations where you expect things are going to go very well, and then something just suddenly happens, and, well, maybe it's contrary to your expectation. Always remember, all things work together for good. It could be the Lord pruning you off to cut off any unwanted part. Maybe there's an area where you have impatience. Maybe there's an area where some branches of pride are beginning to grow in you. God knows how to prune you off. And you know what? Why does he do that? He wants to make you more fruitful, because the fruit of the Lord, it has to be his work, and he has to get the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, this tree, we said it lives up to 1,000 years. And you know what? In Psalm 1 verse 4, we read that the ungodly are not so. When you read Psalm 1 verse 4, it says, "And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But as for an oak tree, it is designed to live up to 1,000 years. That speaks of eternity. That speaks of an enduring testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you know, a believer who is not firmly planted in the word, one moment he looks excited, he seems to have a testimony. Another moment, the cares of life just blows him away. His seat, which he used to sit in church, another day it becomes empty. What happened? He has been blown away by the cares of this life. But let us not be so, saints. We are supposed to be oaks of righteousness, strong, sturdy trees which are able to live up to 1,000 years. And oh my, there's coming a millennium when these sturdy trees, the trees of righteousness, they shall reign in that millennium. And do you know what will be happening in the millennium? You need to read the last chapter of the book of Revelation. It says, the tree of life, its leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. Did you know that in the millennium you will rule with Christ? And yes, there's one tree of life, but it has all these branches. All right? This tree, this oak tree, one time it was cut off. It was cut down by men and nailed to the cross. But out of that stump, new ones have grown. New trees. And these will be trees of righteousness. And through their leaves, nations shall be healed during the millennium. People shall learn to walk in the ways of the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. And you know, when you read 1 Peter 1 verse 24, it says, grass withers. Today it looks good. You know, when you have lawn at your home, it looks good. Grass looks good. But you know one thing about grass? Its root system is not deep. Don't water it for 2, 3, 4 days. It's already dry. Why? It's not meant to live 1,000 years. It's just something which looks attractive to the eye. Another day, it's not there. That is what has happened to Pentecostalism. They focused and majored on gifts, manifestations, emotions, and all that. And whatever they have can never be sustained. And number four, we saw that the oak tree is evergreen. Evergreen. What causes that? Colossians 3 verse 3 to 5 says, we are hid with Christ in God. What is that? It speaks of our deep roots. Okay? Your life shouldn't just be about the green, nice leaves people look at. The question is, are the roots deep enough? Because the leaves may look green, but if the roots, you don't have a deep walk with the Lord in your closet, having your own time in the presence of God where you digest the word of God, where you fellowship, where you are closed up in love with our beloved, when that is missing in your life, one moment what you have will look like green leaves. Another moment, they'll just wither away. Another moment, it will be just a dead trunk lying down somewhere. Let not that be your testimony. Number five, there's great economic value, you know, in this tree. And you know, as a believer, your life is not meant for yourself. Like every tree, you know, its fruit is meant for others. And when you've lived a life that is a good testimony, you find, you walk in this home, oh, they made a chair or a table out of you. Another person who is in need comes, chops off out of you as a tree, and your life becomes spread in the lives of different other people that you have affected or have inspired. Quickly, in closing, let me read Acts 9, verse 36. We look at one tree which people enjoyed different things out of it. Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. So you see, 37, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So when she died, a lot of believers were affected. And in verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the cords and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So they cried, they mourned. Why? They could see a piece of Dorcas' life in their lives. Well, saints, I pray that we all be a blessing to each other. We be trees of righteousness, and we know which trees are those. It's oaks of righteousness. Why? The oak is strong. It regenerates when cut down. It lives up to 1,000 years. It is evergreen, and it has very good economic value.